Good morning, Vince.
Morning, Simon. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Just busy as usual, which you expect to get pulled from pillar to post this time of year, and you've got to finish everything, do all the new stuff, plus all the stuff that comes in on a daily basis. So yeah, which is
It's a
fairly
lot.
apt for what we're going to be doing today, I think, really.
Absolutely, it seems to have come at a good time for you. So today we're going to be talking about time management within recruitment. We're going to look at why it's important to invest time into your time management. We're going to look at time blocking and some of the techniques that we use here at FarmyWeb. And then we're going to finish off with some tips. So it should be a nice little session, and it's only going to take 20 minutes out of your day and hopefully give you actionable advice moving forward.
That sounds good. Well, you're the data man. Why don't you sort of set the scene for us a little bit?
Yeah, all right, no worries. So yeah, when we decided to do this, I took to FarmyWeb articles, I took to Google, just started compiling data that's all specific to recruitment. And the first point I want to make, and this is a really interesting one for me, only 48% of recruiters use a to-do list on a daily basis,
I know, that's crazy, isn't it?
isn't
That
it?
is absolutely bonkers.
And that's something that me and you every day, I mean, you got me into this habit, in fairness. We do a to-do list every single morning. We work through the things that we need to do. We prioritize the most important things, and that works really well as a system. 52% of people aren't doing that.
I know. So what do then? Do people just turn up and have a cup of tea, have a chat, and decide what they're going to do from there? I mean,
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
absolutely bonkers.
it's definitely a behavior that's taught. So, you know, if a team leader, if a sales manager, for example, doesn't impart this knowledge, this wisdom to their sales team, then they're never going to just do it off their own back, are they? I mean, some might, but elaborating on this even more, only 5% of recruiters use any time blocking methods at the moment.
Yeah, again, it's they're not giving themselves a chance, really. I mean, my daughter's in recruitment, and she blocks out of time literally every single day. Very similar to like I do, and we're going to talk about that as we move on, I think. But to me, you need to know exactly what you're going to be doing that next day. Otherwise, you just become reactive, and all
Yeah,
you're doing
completely.
all the time is reacting to what's coming at you, rather than being proactive and going out and getting the business and doing the job, basically.
And you know, there's a really, really simple intro to time blocking that a lot of sales and recruitment teams use, which is power hour. That is the most basic form of time blocking there is. Nothing else for an hour, we are just doing this. You apply that to the rest of your day, you're unstoppable.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. So, well, you can take it one step further, by the way, but yeah,
You
we'll talk
can, yeah.
about
Well, we'll
that.
look at yours in detail in a minute because it's a masterclass. Elaborating more on detail, only 18% of recruiters currently have any time management dedicated system. So that's an app or a website like Clockify, which will kind of remind you when you need to move on and it keeps you going. But only 18% of recruiters use something like that. 51% of the average workday is spent on tasks with little to no value. So if we adopt automation and AI, we can get that right down. So a basic one here is using Microsoft Teams transcriptions to take your call notes and then uploading that directly to your CRM instead of typing out the conversation manually. You'll save loads of time, right? Very, very simple fix. One for managers. The average recruitment manager spends an average of 3 hours per day being interrupted. You
Well,
know,
that's not a surprise, is it?
yeah,
Yeah.
it's also not limited just to recruitment, is it, I guess? But yeah, you know, that's a lot of work they're not able to get done because they're dealing with interruptions, which to a certain degree is why they're managers, it's why they're paid as managers, but that's still a lot of time, isn't it? Some of the common distractions in the workplace, these are things like chatty co-workers, office noise, unnecessary meetings, and social media, with LinkedIn kind of topping the poll, with just randomly scrolling with no real or no limited tasks. You're
But
just
I think
scrolling.
if you class the workspace as also being at home, then pretty much all your social media, all your LinkedIn scrolling, stopping and going to have a look at other websites that perhaps you wouldn't have done in the office. Everybody does it,
True, true.
but
There's probably more.
soaks up your time because you can only be effective for so long doing a particular job. And you have to be very rigid to control that, and it's quite difficult for people, I think. But it doesn't just happen in the workplace. It also happens at home, if that's your workplace.
Oh, big time.
You know,
big
so
time.
This is a big social issue, I think, that we've got as a, as an industry and in the world, actually, at the moment.
Well, we were talking about this recently, weren't we? You know, when you're trying to do deep work and then someone knocks at your door. Someone, you know, oh, seeing as you work from home, are you able to quickly unblock the gutters or something ridiculous? You know, it's kind of, no, I'm working. These distractions, it really adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it takes your mind off the ball as well. If you're really focused on something, you lose that attention.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's different things.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that a lot of people in business use is the Pareto principle. This is basically something that says 20% of your value, 20% of your tasks generates 80% of your value. So you've got to find what those 20% of the high earning tasks are and focus your time on those. So if you're in recruitment, that's things like BD. That's things like, you know, finalizing the placements. It's things like making sure you're doing the actual core job of recruitment, isn't it? You know, it's not messing around with LinkedIn. It's not, you know, just trying to hit your KPIs by doing random phone calls to your mates and seeing how their day is. You know, there are other things that you could be doing, and you've got to focus on those 20% of important tasks. A good way to get started is to examine all of the tasks that you do in a day. You'll remember Kelly at FarmyWeb had us all doing this 2 years ago. Mm. We listed everything we did. We allocated the time it took to do it. You then prioritize the most important things by identifying the ones that offer the greatest return. Now, that's the things that are going to be billing or bringing clients or candidates in the doors.
Yeah.
You then brainstorm how you can delegate or remove the tasks that you're doing that don't give a return. What can you delegate? Is probably a really, really good important one. And then finally, you make a plan that outlines time and resources versus the prioritized tasks. You know, what do you need to get this job done effectively, efficiently, and where can you lose all of the fat that you're going to trim, basically. It's quite a decent principle. And it works.
It does work. I think your problem you've got is if you're in a recruitment consultancy and you're a 360 recruiter, as an example, the priorities will be everything apart from doing business development, because they don't like doing that. And that's your problem. So it's what do you prioritize in what hours? So it's time of day as well as time to actually do the job. You know, you've got to do when it's the most effective time.
It's true. You work in internal recruitment as well, you know, the job of the internal TA person has completely changed in recent years. They're aligning now heavily with marketing, aren't they? You know, it's all for your TA team, where you should be doing all the things that you are used to doing as an internal TA. We now also need you to make TikTok content, and we need you to, you know, do this and do this report and look at that. And, you know, webinars, career fairs, podcasts. All of these things that aren't your high value tasks, they are flooding in.
Yeah, well, I think AI is going to affect that quite a lot, because it's going to buy people a lot more time by automating a lot of things. But what that means is you're then freed up to do other things, which then take up more of your time.
Well, exactly. So
you're never going to have time. It doesn't matter how good the technology is. It doesn't matter how, you know, good your managers are or people around you. You will never have enough time. So it's a question of making sure that you've got the right amount of time to do the right things.
Well, that's the thing, because then business operations get involved, don't they? They go, right, Simon, you know, we're using AI. You've said that you're saving on average 5 hours a week because of this tool that's doing this for you. So what can we give you that's going to fill those 5 hours? And it's like, no, I can be picking up the phone and selling more in that 5 hours. I don't need more tasks. And that's the argument you're constantly going to get. It's how can we fill that time? Because you can already do your job. You already perform well. So what can we give you instead? And it's just going to be a never ending cat and mouse of trying to get your time back, isn't it?
Yeah, it never stops, unfortunately. But that sort of leads us nicely into, you know, thinking a little bit more about modern life. You know, the thing I always say to people when I do my sort of time management courses with them is, you know, modern life is busy. Yeah, we're busier now than we've ever been. The speed of, you know, the world and life has sped up by 300% in the last 10 years. Mm. You know, you've got all of your sort of family stuff. You've got your work stuff. You've got your personal life, social media, your hobbies and interests. All of those sort of intertwine and take up huge amounts of time. I mean, I've recently thanks to you, actually, spent a lot of time looking at LinkedIn and how do I reduce my time on LinkedIn when, because you go down that rabbit hole of, you know, you think you're going to nip on for 10 minutes and just see what people are saying, what's going on. And 4 hours later, you come up and think, oh, well, was that really good use of my time? That's the whole, you know, morning gone. Did it really work? And I think the interruptions from social media, from your alerts, from your phone, people calling you, your family, your friends, everything just, it's almost like a bombardment. And on top of that, if you look at the amount of emails you get now, I mean, I'm getting around about 300 emails a day that are completely irrelevant, but they still soak up your time because you still need to go and have a look. Or it might be a message that you do need to do something with. And then all those sort of things start to then get in the way of your own personal life, and your work-life balance goes up the chute. So you're sort of, you're constantly, we're bombarded with information, more information than we've ever, ever had. You know, news, on your TV, alerts, you know, your phone's constantly monitoring what you're doing. It's just happening, and life is busy. So people are starting to feel a little bit more frazzled, you know, they're getting a little bit worn out, you know, and this is all fatigue, where well-being comes in, you know, and well-being actually starts with you as a person.
You've
got to be responsible. You're responsible for your life and your health. And if you're starting to feel stressed or anxious, I mean, what's the latest figure we had in the industry? Was it 37% of people who are stressed or anxious all of the time?
Millennials,
You know, that's not a good, it's not a good way to be. So I know that we sort of talked about this a couple of times, but I wanted to just sort of share what I do, really, which I thought just gives people an idea of how much you need to integrate. And I've been doing this for about 20 years, and it just seems to give me the time I need to do my job and to live my life. Okay, so I use time blocking a lot. So essentially what I do is I run my calendar on a weekly basis from Sunday to the following Saturday. Okay, the Sunday being the day that typically I'm prepping for what I'm doing in the week. And that includes everything I'm going to do work-wise and everything I'm going to do personally through into the evenings, right the way through to the following Saturday. And what that does is it allows me not to forget anything. So, you know, the key thing there is your family, your friends are just as important as your job. So all of these things need to have some time. And you've also got chores to do. You've got life to live, you know, take your suit to the dry cleaners, whatever it might be, empty the bins, whatever it might be, you know, don't forget to do those things. So typically what I do is I break my days up from around about 6 a.m. through to 11 p.m. So that gives me a number of hours. So, and I split all those hours into single hours, and I don't allow myself to have more than 2 hours to do any one job. Full stop. And you have to be rigid to the point where, you know, you've obviously seen it in my my online diary. I actually block out time, say do not disturb, do not put anything in here, business development time, that type of thing, so that you have those dedicated hours where people won't put any other meetings in, they won't try and disrupt you in any way. And same thing applies to the family. So classic examples for me on a weekly basis at the beginning of the year, and I show this to people all the time. So typically, first week of the year, I've got my tax return to do, normally get my boiler serviced, you know, prep myself for the month ahead, clean out my gutters. They're all just personal things that have then got to be put into that week. And then a lot of things that happen that week are things like reports, reviews, you know, chasing up POs for contracts, all that kind of thing. That needs to get put in. But then you've got social side. You know, it's typically the first week in, you sort of chilled out a bit from your Christmas break, and it's things like, you know, going to the cinema, or you might have a meeting midweek. So things like cleaning your shoes. I have to put some time in for cleaning my shoes because I don't like to end up to meet a client looking like a scallywag, for the sake of a better word, you know. And then things like, you know, in the evenings, what do? You know, so if I'm going to the pub or I'm going out for dinner, put it in because it's going to take 3 hours of my time.
Yeah.
You know, so that evening's gone. Social things, you know, I do a lot of martial arts, I play a lot of badminton, those things have got to go in. So meeting with your friends. Also during the week, you know, lunchtimes, what are you going to do? You might need to nip out and buy something or go and collect something, whatever it is. Put those things in as well. But the key thing with all of this, especially if in my case, if I'm doing things like business development, I need 20 hours. So I need half of the week's working hours to be business development time.
Yes.
In some form or another. So, you know, they get boxed out. So all of a sudden, you look at your week and think, I've got no time to do anything because my week is full. Well, you know your week's full. Don't try and cram into it, anything else into it, because it's not going to work. Or if you do have to cram something into it, then you've got to find a way to actually do those things. But yeah, if you don't know about it, if you're just reacting, you're constantly behind.
I remember my first 2 years, probably 2 years at FarmyWeb, you were trying to demonstrate to me the power of saying no.
Yes.
Because I would take any job off anyone that needed doing for the sake of teamwork, wouldn't I? Anything, yeah, whatever it was, I'd just go, yeah, I can do it. I've got time. I can do this. And you were going, right, you know, you're getting busier. We're getting busier. The business is doing really well. We've just, you know, come out of COVID. Things are picking up. You can't do what you've been doing up to now. You need to learn to say no to people. You need to figure out what's actually business important and what's Simon important. Separate those two things. Do what's best for the business. And that was really important. That's where we started talking more about time blocking, because I was able to put in an hour a day to do stupid little tasks for people, whatever helps. And then I could juggle everything, but only if I time blocked my day to a point where I knew these 2 hours between 10 and 12, that's cold calling. And then between 2 and 4, it's following up on all my warm leads. Doing that every single day, there's your 20 hours of BD. Outside of that, sure, build a Canva spreadsheet for someone, whatever, but it goes in that hour. And yeah, there's no, other stuff you can do. Yeah. I think it's really important to do, and it completely changes your life.
Yeah, and the other thing with interruptions, and I've got a friend that I've picked up on this like 4 or 5 times, who gets constantly interrupted by the phone. Okay, so the phone, because it's messaging, because it's pinging, because it's blocking, because he's got FOMO and he can't not look at it. You know, you will go out to the pub for a couple of drinks. We're talking about something, a plan that we're doing or whatever. And it just constantly gets interrupted. You have to constantly keep going back. And you think, well, I'm still sat here while you're talking to someone on your phone. That's extremely rude.
It is.
For one thing, your phone going off is extremely rude. It's almost like it's calling to you. Come on, come on, come on. Answer me. I'm more important. No, it's not.
That's true.
All right. So the other thing I always say to people is, you know, what is your phone? Is it your devil or is it your angel? Well, actually, it's both. It really is both.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's time when you've got to silence it, turn it off and focus on what you're actually in. And that's really hard. I know it is. But it's really rude if you're on the phone to someone, you take a call, or it's pinging away while you're actually trying to have a conversation with someone. That's just, you know, that's poor etiquette, to say the very least.
Big time. We spend all of our time as sales and recruitment professionals trying to get in a room with someone, because that's where the magic happens, right? You can't then be in that room with someone dealing with trying to get in the room with other people. You just can't. It's incredibly bad etiquette.
Yeah. It's like time. It's like I recently, from a time management point of view, put a note out about meeting etiquette. You know, if you're going to be in a meeting, be engaged with the rest of the people. You know, don't have your phone on. Don't be working while you're doing it. That's just rude.
Yeah.
You might as well just say, I'm sorry, I know I'm in this meeting, but you're all a waste of time for me, because I'm more important doing what I'm doing right now, because I'm just trying to do more work.
Yeah, that's
not
it.
What the meeting, meeting's there for you to meet and talk about what you need to do.
Exactly.
You know, have your camera on, be engaged. I want to see people's hands. I want to see what you're doing. If I see someone who looks like they're doing something else, I'm going to pick on them.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, what are you talking to? Who are you talking to? You know, tell us all about it. We're all sat here, all 10 of us, waiting for you to finish what you're doing, because you're more important than 10 of us. So tell us what you're doing that's more important than we are.
I remember that happening to me in school.
People
the worst.
Do not like that. No. But it is rude.
It is. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And people go out of that meeting, they've not taken anything from that meeting at all, because they weren't engaged.
Absolutely. We're all guilty of it. We've all done it.
Yeah. And people that do that, actually, their opinion is just as important as the other 10 people in the room. So they should be engaged, because they should be contributing to what the group need to do.
That's
so there's lots of little things like that. So time management, blocking out your time, be fully engaged in that. So I'm a big advocate of, you know, if you're going to be online for a meeting, 45 minutes maximum.
Yeah,
that's your maximum attention span. The reason I break all of my time into hour slots, no more than 2 hours to do anything, is that's your maximum time that you can concentrate on something before you get bored. Mm. Well, it certainly is for me.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
So stop doing it and go and do something else and perhaps come back to it. Mm. You know, so, and there's going to be things that, you know, you will put longer time in for, but you're consciously doing that.
Absolutely. I think time blocking is incredibly useful. If anyone doesn't do time blocking and takes one thing away from today, just try it. Try breaking down your day into those different hour slots, putting things into those hour slots and sticking to it. You will see a marked improvement, not only in your performance, but your organization too. So I'd tell anyone that would listen to give it a go. So I guess rounding off then, any final tips that you'd like to give to people that are really good for saving time and being better with it?
Yeah, for me, it's merge your personal life with your work life. Mm. You know, so if you've got to leave early one day, that's absolutely fine because you're doing something personal. You know, you might be out for a birthday or a meal or whatever it is, because that personal time is just as important to block out. You know, don't be late. Don't always be running late. Don't not be ready. Just give yourself a break and go and enjoy life, because at the moment we're all just, if you're running around manically, which I know a lot of people do, and you just think you can't be enjoying life because your life is just a shambles. You know, always forgetting things, leaving things behind, don't know what you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
Give yourself a bit of time. Just chill out and enjoy it.
Don't forget the time to do it.
Yeah, don't forget to breathe. What about you?
So we spoke very, very briefly about LinkedIn and how you can reduce your time. So that the method that I use, it's the 442 method. You know, we've talked about it before in webinars and that kind of thing. But essentially, it's going through LinkedIn and it's liking 4 things, commenting on 4 things, and not just great opportunity, 4 insightful comments on 4 separate posts, and doing that twice a day. 4 likes, 4 comments twice a day. That will ensure that you're seen as being an active LinkedIn user. So what you're doing on LinkedIn will show in your network's feed, which is good because you want the exposure. But it also means you're not going to waste time just scrolling and taking in nothing. You know, you go in, you do your engagement piece, and then you do the work part of LinkedIn, which is sourcing, which is finding the leads, finding the candidates. If you are just scrolling up and down the feed, not adding any value, it is time in the bin. So don't do it. 442 rule.
Yeah, no, I really like that one, actually. I added that into my time management, and I think that's really clever. Because I used to be, like you say, I used to be one of those culprits. I would go on LinkedIn and, you know, I'd go in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it comes to 12 o'clock, and thinking I'm quite hungry, and I've been in there for 3 hours without even realising.
Yeah.
Which is great, because, you know, LinkedIn is a great resource, but is it worth that amount of your time? You know,
it's true. It's true.
And I did, you know, years ago. I've always had lists, etc. So, and I've been out with many people that, you know, just they literally just run in panic from one thing to the next because they're always late.
Yes.
You know,
definitely dealt with a few people like that for sure.
Absolutely. And I think, I suppose the overarching thing is, you know, you've got to get control of your time. Get your life back, get your day back.
Yeah, completely.
And be a person, and be a nice person. Don't run around like a headless chicken.
I think that's a good way to end it, isn't it?
Headless chickens, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The big advice, don't run around like a headless chicken. So yeah, get control back in your day. Manage your personal life in the same way you would your professional life. Invest in your time management, whether that's investing money or investing time in getting it right. And then finally, going back to the Pareto principle, just look at that in more detail, do some research on it, break it all down, make it make sense. And then finally, time blocking. It is honestly life-changing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Simon. Always good to have a chat.